This content is brought to you in part by Real Marketing, the only marketing firm recommended exclusively by the Institute. Real Marketing utilizes over 25 years of expertise, and their products are built and customized for you to dominate any neighborhood, anywhere. Go to realmarketing4u.com. That's realmarketing4u.com. Also, look for past A State of Mind episodes with CEO David Collins as our guest. Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. This is Tammy Sims, trainer for the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. Today, we're pleased to have with us Andrew Perry, a CLHMS and Guild member from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. Andrew leads the luxury division of Revel Real Estate, which is a modern, full-service, tech-savvy real estate brokerage that offers their clients an avant-garde perspective on the future of real estate promotion in the Niagara region. Andrew is described as a visible, innovative, social media marketing force whose personality and passion for real estate transcends the norm. He says that family is a strong and identifiable part of his life, and the two core principles of his real estate practice are honesty and communication. His business is anything but as usual, as you'll see. Welcome, Andrew. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great. Although I'm a little envious of your 73 degree that you're talking about earlier before we off.
Well, Andrew, you know that those of us in these southern states, we need a reminder of your weather, because I'm envious of you that you have fall and winter, right?
We're at 0 degree right now today here up in the Great White North.
But I think it's fantastic, especially as part of the Institute, we get to know one another in different geographies and come to understand the things that are the same in our markets and the things that are uniquely different.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, for our audience, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your brokerage, Revel Realty?
Yes, absolutely. So, I've been in the business, 5 years, and it still feels like I've, you know, just joined a couple of years ago and up in Canada. And I know the States have been experiencing, you know, through COVID and all that stuff, like how fast paced the market has been. But for me, as with only been in 5 years, it's been fast for this entire term of my career. So, I started 5 years ago. And it's just one of those things where I've always kind of been in sales, but I was always selling these smaller units, getting a smaller paycheck. And one day, 5 years ago, I just said to myself, well, you know what? I think I'm going to leave my corporate job. I was working for LA Fitness, actually, which is an American company. I learned a lot of great sales strategies and systems and all that good stuff. But I was thinking to myself, if I could just, you know, put that ambition into something that, you know, like a house that would return a higher reward for the work that I'm putting in. So yeah, I decided to leave the company and get out on my own and get into sales. I've got 3 kids now. I've had two in 2 years. I love them to death, but wow, is that something I wasn't necessarily expecting when I knew I wanted to become a father. So I've got a lovely wife, 3 kids, and a real estate team in 2 offices. So, I'm sure we'll get into, what level I'm at in each one of those aspects, but that's basically it.
Excellent. And in that 5 short years, you have definitely made a name for yourself and really have taken on lots of responsibilities in addition to fatherhood. Yes. And I know your background in business development and sports. That was one of your academic focuses, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sports development.
Yes, exactly. So I like to tell people that I went to school for golf. But then when they see me play, they're like, wait, did you actually? But no, it was actually business and sports club management. It was a real focus on not only the development of golf courses, hotels, chalets, gyms, but it was more of a club style atmosphere is really what I was focusing on in school. And, you know, I had a lot of fun and it's so great that, you know, now as I've been fortunate enough to live this type of a lifestyle that I'm a member now, not just working at one.
Excellent. Excellent. And I imagine that that sort of private club mentality focused on delivering high-end service to a select audience probably carries over into your real estate world.
I totally agree. And so where I live is Niagara-on-the-Lake. And Niagara-on-the-Lake is very similar to, I'm assuming, I've never been there, but Napa Valley, where it's all wineries. It's, you know, a lot of the houses were built 100 years ago. Or more. So it's that very upscale kind of lifestyle where, you know, I went from in school every Friday, we would taste wines from around the world and we'd have a wine tasting class. And it's just so interesting. That was kind of my first little hook where, oh, it's kind of like this, I don't want to say high society, but that, it almost like a private club membership where, you know, I was learning about the wines and then it was just kind of an easy transition, no-brainer decision to make that Niagara-on-the-Lake kind of lifestyle a part of my business.
Excellent, excellent. And so you probably had lots of choices of brokerages. And I was reading Revel's website and how they describe themselves. And I thought it was interesting. They describe the brokerage as having an insatiable, enthusiastic, and aggressive approach to accommodate each and every detail of a real estate transaction. And so I'm curious to know what intrigued you and what you think makes Revel Realty most unique and why you chose it.
So my first introduction to Revel was that first, from the outside, the people who were being the most vocal were good-looking people, and they were showing these houses that were, you know, 5 years ago, if you were selling at $1 million, that was a luxury home, you know, and it was a lot of money for a house in our region. And so I was finding out that Revel was getting all these higher-priced homes, really good-looking people. Their marketing was on point. And it just naturally attracted me to the brokerage. And as I started to do a little bit more digging, I found out that there was a reason why they were getting more high-end homes. There was a reason why their marketing was standing out was because they all have standards where, you know, you have to list a house for a full percent. I know we're not really supposed to talk about commission in Canada here. I'm not sure what it's like in the States.
Absolutely the same.
We're a full service brokerage, and because we back it up with standards and services that we're extremely proud of. And, you know, once I started interviewing the brokerage a little bit more, I found out that not only was it important to them that their clients were being presented in a professional manner, but also the brokerage. So our brokerage, although now we're this big name and we're about to open our, by the time this episode airs, our 15th office in 7 years, almost wow. 300 agents. By the time I joined, there was only two offices. And as I moved into director of recruitment, I might have had a small role with how fast we've been growing. But the point is that we actually, in our second year, developed a Revel Style magazine. So we have our own brokerage magazine. As you can see by the shine, it's a high gloss, high quality presentation. And I said, wow, what kind of brokerage invests all this type of money back into their marketing, their education, and their technology? So to me, the owner was a professional basketball player, Ryan Saravelli, and his wife, Nikki Saravelli. And they felt that bringing the team atmosphere, we don't have any monthly fees. And so again, these are all things that I was noticing when I was doing the interview process. But okay, it's great that you don't have any monthly fees, but okay, so how are you guys doing so well? Well, if you're not making any money, we're not making any money. So there's no guarantee that the brokerage is going to make money just on monthly fees. So what do they do in order to motivate and empower people to go out and sell houses? Well, they wanted to put their money where their mouth is, invest back into the marketing, invest back into their services, and all these small things that add up to amazing presentations for clients and their agents. So that was number one, what drove me there. Now, what is keeping me there? And when everybody asks, why are you with Revel? It's the opportunity. There's no other brokerage that I know of that empowers each of their own to go out into a new market and open their own office, or go out and be a mentor or a coach within the company. So it's a really, really cool system that I haven't seen many people duplicate. I've seen a few people try, but that's what brought me, and that's what's keeping me.
Well, that's fantastic. And it seems like a perfect match to your personality style and the background. And knowing about the owners and their sports involvement, yeah, makes perfect sense that you were recently named director of recruitment and head coach.
Right.
So what an interesting title for that position.
So it's funny they said recently. So actually, I was within my first year, I became a mentor. Within my second year, I became a manager of an existing branch out here, but which we call head coach. There's reasons behind that, because it's all corporate run. Specific terms that we're not necessarily allowed to use. So as a head coach, my job was to help motivate, support all the realtors in the office. And that was by year two. And then by year two and a half, I had been named the director of communications and in recruitment. So my job was basically to get in front of people, just like what I'm doing here today, or speaking at conferences and just really spreading the word about Revel. And then that naturally migrated into a recruitment role, to which I still hold that position today. And I meet with about 10 new agents every week, which, when I'm running two offices, I've got three kids, my own top producing real estate team, and to, on top of that, meet with, 10 new people a week about joining a brokerage. It's pretty great that I get to still be as involved as I am.
Excellent. And talk about involved and really taking your own business to heights. Even in such a short time, you have already achieved the guild recognition within the Institute. So you are yes, rocking it and taking names. And so you alluded to luxury price point a few minutes ago. So I know that you lead the luxury division, which is referred to as the Fine Estates team. And I'm curious, what point do you consider to be luxury now in this market? You gave us an example of what it looked like perhaps 5 years ago. What do you all consider to be a luxury price point?
So in the Niagara-on-the-Lake region, where I have our Niagara-on-the-Lake office and where I live, luxury as a price point would be around the 2 million, 2.5, 3, and then obviously up. It really just depends, because some of the price points, a piece of land can be worth 1.5 million. A piece of land with a shack on it that you can tear down could be 2 million. So it's really, really, it's a fine line. Now, 1.5 in the Niagara region as a whole, like I'm not sure how much you know about Niagara Falls, New York, but our Niagara Falls market here is very, very similar. So 1,500,000 is a great luxury property down there. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm kind of curious, how large is the market segment of what you'd consider to be luxury, whether it's in the entirety of the Niagara region or perhaps compared to your area?
So Niagara on the Lake, on any given year, there might be 100 or less. Right? Very small. This year, there's been a lot more. there's probably been almost double the amount of sales in between 250 and 300 units this year that have sold in Niagara on the Lake. In Niagara Falls, there'll be, you know, hundreds more, maybe 800 units in a year. But the turnover where we are is very, very low. So typically, other than this year, of course, we would sign one-year contracts because they don't fly off the shelves. In Niagara-on-the-Lake specifically, there's only 15,000 people in this community. So there's not a lot of turnover. So in order to be good at what you do and make a healthy living, you have to be, you know, you've got to put yourself out there and you've got to really take your business seriously because there's really not too many transactions a year here.
Well, but it sounds like you've had an incredible uptick despite, you know, the word of lack of inventory in a global perspective. Yes. You're also seeing that those price segments are the ones that are performing even in a time of relative crisis.
Yes, absolutely. You know, you'd be surprised where those houses that you would sign a 12-month contract for, you know, that might take 8 to 12, maybe 2 years even, are now selling in just a couple of weeks or a month. So it's really interesting to see. And although there's only been, you know, 200 or so transactions this year, we were able to do 82 so far.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. And if you divide that by our average price point, we're in and around the 1.3 right now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's a great segue into the question that I wanted to ask you. Knowing that your market area, Niagara-on-the-Lake, is small and really unique, I'm curious about the area in terms of what is it that motivates people to choose to own property there?
Well, that's a very easy question. It's the wine lifestyle, right? So it's one of those, you know, fairy tale. We've been named the prettiest town in Canada or prettiest town in the world multiple times. And it's just, you know, the town was built 1800s, the War of 1812. That's kind of how the town started. It was a border town to Niagara in New York. And, you know, that's where the battle was right here in Fort George. And people love that piece of history. There's so many five-star restaurants. It's a true lifestyle change where so much so that the values were so high. Everybody's heard of Niagara-on-the-Lake, but we actually were having to rent homes here because the prices were so high. People wanted to live here just to experience it first. And once they come here and they experience it, they're hooked.
Wow. Well, I want to get on the next plane. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
That leads me to the next question. You've told us that the population is about 15,000.
Yeah.
Of the people that own property there, particularly in the upper tier, is it mostly full-time residents or for secondary uses?
That's a very good question. It's probably about 70% full-time year-round homeowners. It's about 30% second home, summer home. Now, if you wanted to technically classify some of those as Airbnbs, you'd probably be at more at like a 60-40 if you're in Old Town, if you wanted to go on those ratios. But yeah, when, you know, there's COVID first happened, a lot of Americans weren't coming over, and a lot of Americans are the ones who own that 30%. We've got people from all over the world, of course, but majority of that 30% are Americans that live all over the states.
Interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah. So even some of the tools that are available for members of the Institute that are US specific, like the online wealth lookup and the We Prospecting, those would be super valuable to you in reaching that 30% segment.
That's a great point. And the beauty part is that our dollar is currently 33%, you know, so and any Americans watching who want to send their clients or buy a property here in beautiful Niagara-on-the-Lake, get a discount of roughly 33%.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's that sales background coming out. Absolutely. Exactly, right? For sure. And so let me ask, what types of properties will people find? Is it primarily single family homes? Do you have condos, townhomes? What kinds of properties?
So if you're talking Niagara on the Lake proper, those are all detached estate homes. You know, if they kind of look like I said before, like homes that you would see in the Hamptons, the Macaulay Culkin home, things like that, you know, anywhere from 150 years old to every single home is custom built. So, you know, when we talked during the training about how to compare homes, it can be very difficult. So you got to break it down by all the upgrades, what kind of upgrades, who the builder was, all that good stuff. Now, as you move out of the center, it is still more predominantly single family homes, but condos are getting more and more popular. Right now in Niagara region, bungalow townhomes are very popular. They're condos, so people come and cut the grass. You can't put up fences. But I still say, you know, more overwhelmingly, they're single detached homes.
Sure. And that makes perfect sense. So since Niagara on the Lake is such a niche market and destination, how do you market your listings and attract buyers when you've got a small pool of locals? How do you find those folks from outside the area?
That's a really great question. Now, to break that down, I have a very well-known online presence. 85% of my business is agent-to-agent referral. So using me to list your property is, and it's, you know, I'm not going to say there's an advantage right there, but I already have certain strategies of who to target first. And it all starts with my own personal network. And I'm sure, you know, some of the big guys in you know, Miami and New York and LA probably use that strategy. You want to hit your database first. Now, having said that, you know, the way I win a lot of my listing presentations is because realtors make the mistake. Oh yeah, we're going to post it on Facebook. We're going to post it on Instagram. You're explaining to your potential seller that what you're going to do is basically going to cost you nothing. You're just going to post it online and hopefully that somebody sees it. Where with us, we've got a full system. Like I said, yes, first I attack my database. Second, I have a partnership with over 100 plus websites across 100 plus countries. So Globe and Mail, DuPont Registry, LuxuryProperties.com, LuxNT, all these different, you know, global distribution partners. And I don't have a sample. Yes, I do. And where we are in this little town of 15,000 people, where we still use traditional marketing. Where you go 5 minutes out of town and you're throwing your money away if you're listing in magazines or papers. But in Niagara on the Lake, people pick this up. People come to Niagara on the Lake. They sit at the coffee shops or the restaurants. They pick these up. So we put 50,000. That's actually my listing right there.
Wow.
But we put out 50,000 magazines a month. And those listings also get distributed online and stuff like that. So to answer your question more directly, that's how we find people outside of our country. Like I said, where we've got Toronto, which is about an hour and a half from us, Oakville, Burlington, which is an hour. And those are where the heavy hitting buyers are coming from. So there nothing beats building a very, very strong relationship with the top agents in those towns. So that's essentially how we do it. Before we list a house, yeah, we probably spend, depending on the price point, between $2,000 and $3,000 plus before it even hits the market. And like I said, we take advantage of the database, we put it in the magazines, and we hit up all our global distribution partners, as well as if we're going to post on Facebook and Instagram, we're going to put some money behind it as ads as well.
Yeah, and you have a really robust Instagram channel. In fact, we have some screenshots of your feed in the training as best practices.
Oh, awesome.
But I think you tend to use that more as a vehicle that's larger than just trying to promote a listing. I see a lot of realtors that are just trying to promote listings. Here's a new listing. Look at this. But you've got a really a depth of character in your online presence, particularly your social media platforms. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, so I got to be careful of how I say it, because honestly, I believe we should all have the right to run our business however we want. But I saw a very large gap with how the public, our clients, and other realtors view us as an industry as a whole. And I was like, there's no engaging content here. Everything that realtors are posting are for them. New listing, new lease, just sold in a day, 100,000 over asking, 2 million over asking. Wow, no wonder it's being, you know, Facebook has all those special ad categories. If you post a listing and you don't put any money behind it, nobody's going to see it. And no wonder, because it's not engaging. So I decided very early on that I would create content that I want that's fun, engaging. And so if you looked at my personal page, there'll only be one out of 20 listings that I actually post on my personal page. And the rest of it is all lifestyle, fun. Because remember, 85% of my business is agent-to-agent referrals. So yeah. I don't focus. I think when you're trying to focus on attracting buyer and seller leads through organic content online, I think that's just a waste of an online strategy. Why not try to target like-minded individuals and, you know, see if you can't create some type of network or relationship? And again, I'm not a coach. I don't have a course or real estate course or anything like that to sell. So it's not like I'm getting these agents here expecting them to buy something from me. I'm just expecting them to come, enjoy themselves, and, you know, see if there's any type of value that they can take away from my posts.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you do a regular podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm actually the host of our Be Revolutionary podcast, which is our Revel Realty podcast specifically. We kind of put a halt on that during COVID. And we're just kind of waiting for a new studio to pop up. And we opened this beautiful office in Niagara on the Lake. And my partner, Evan and Jesse McDonald, we really wanted to do something that was different and not real estate specific. So what we did is Evan came up with the concept, wine stuff in wine podcast. So we really wanted to get it out there that we're talking about wine and we're going to drink some wine. So the basis behind the show is that we invite local business owners, local charity contributors, you know, somebody who's got some influence in the town, and we basically invite them on the show and we get them to bring their favorite wine. So we've had some winemakers come on, or representatives of these big wineries that come on, and they don't even bring their own wine, because that's not what the show is about. The show, yes, we are giving you a platform to discuss your business and try to do a little pitch, but the idea is supporting the community. So it's so amazing to see that, you know, we had Wayne Gretzky. He's got a winery here. We had one of their representatives come, and the first bottle that they brought was not from their own winery. The second bottle they bought was from the Niagara College, where the kids learn how to make wine. So it's really amazing that the premise of the show is actually going, into the beliefs of our guests, which is so cool.
That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And it reminds me a little bit of the Food Network's, all the chefs on the show, The Best Thing I Ever Ate. They're talking about all the other people's restaurants they've gone to. But how fun, especially because it's such an important part of the community there, to really have it be about the community and interesting people there. So again, talking about building engaging content that isn't focused on selling houses. That's
absolutely
great.
We had such a great response that in our first week, we got approached by a local newspaper here, which is a town of 15,000. We've got three newspapers.
Wow.
And one of the newspapers approached us and asked if they could have exclusive rights to put out an ad or put out a piece on us every time an episode comes out, and they'll share it to all their social media and stuff. So it was a really well-received idea, and we're loving it.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, let me get back to nuts and bolts a little bit in terms of marketing, particularly for supporting marketing your listings. I understand that Revel provides you with an in-house professional marketing team. Yes. With specialized talents in video, photography, print and desktop publishing, copywriting, and even motion graphics. How important is that to you, and how do you utilize that marketing support?
So it's absolutely crucial. So the cool thing about having your own in-house marketing team, it's the same thing. Like, we've got educators, we've got mentors, we've got in-house mortgage brokers, lawyers in marketing. The reason why is because it's so competitive out there for realtors getting started that, you know, I remember my first year, oh, what website provider should I use? Oh my God, my logo, what should that look like? What colors should I use? Why? You're wasting valuable time. Your number one thing you need to do as a realtor is lead generate, not show houses, not design a logo, not be a marketer. It's lead gen, because you can't do any of that without leads. So we use the in-house marketing to take the guesswork out of, you know, all that trials and tribulations that you're going to go through in your first year. Now, what do I use it as a veteran? Is I use it for all my listing videos. And it's really cool because it attaches to a Calendly link. And you just, you know, spin the computer over to the seller. Hey, Mr. Seller, you've got a beautiful home here. I know you've already bought a couple hours north and you need to get this house on before the weekend traffic. I've got some time, and you can bring up the schedule and says, yep, I got some time tomorrow morning. We can come shoot and we'll have the photos back by the same night. We'll get it listed on Thursday morning. And it really impresses them because it shows us that we've got everything figured out. It's that next level of professionalism. And like I said, it gives those people who might not be the most creative in the world a chance to compete with the big people online.
Sure. So instead of trying to be a graphic designer and a videographer, you can focus on being a real estate professional.
Absolutely. And the great part is that everything we offer, because they're on salary, is about anywhere between 25 to 60% cheaper than what you would just pay for, using a random company in the area.
Sure. Now, speaking of using a random company in the area, there are a lot of folks out there that don't have access to that type of in-house marketing team. So what should somebody look for in a third-party vendor if they were looking to give themselves the resources to take that load off of them? Yeah. What do you think they should be looking for?
So that's a really good question. And you've kind of asked the right person. Maybe we'll find out after this answer. So although I have the access to the in-house marketing, I still use somebody who does my vlogs outside the company. I still have somebody who does my reels, my Instagram reels and my TikTok. So those are different. I have a different photographer for my lifestyle shoots. And I have a different videographer that I use for listings and events and stuff like that. So why do I do that? What am I looking for? So each one of these individuals have something about them that complements the way I see that expertise or see how that vehicle should be used. So for people out there, I think it's very important to team up with somebody. Always have a consultation first and team up with them, you know, somebody who's got the same passions or ideas that, you know, line up with your visions. That's not to say that you should just totally not take somebody who has their own ideas, because I did that with the reels. I hired this guy off Instagram because I saw what he was doing. There's another tip. Check out all their Instagrams. Go down, see if they're working with different styles of people or not. And I realized, I said, hey, look, I love what you were doing. Come and shoot with me and just do whatever you want. Tell me to do whatever you want. And so I think that's important too, is that if you stay too inside one lane, you're going to get caught behind, right? You always should be ahead of the trends. So I guess in terms of what you should look for is just honestly check them out, check out their, referrals. Are they real, or testimonials? Are they real? Reach out to the people that they've worked with and say, how's your experience? Was it costly? Did they provide a professional experience? Did they get your content back to you in an appropriate amount of time? Like, these are very big questions where I, you know, in earlier in my career, I spent $2,000 on one video that was just terrible. So it's easy for these companies to take advantage of people in their first year. So I would honestly reach out to somebody who you like, go through their Instagram or whatever type of portfolio they have, and reach out to the people that have used, like you could see, usually they get tagged in the Instagram post, and then you just shoot them a message and ask how they like their experience.
Yeah, it's interesting that you went down that path, because I'm also with a brokerage that has a salaried marketing team, and I use them for some things and others, other vendors for others. But what I got as the big takeaway on that is that you don't have to find a one-stop shop. It's okay to have some different specialized vendors that meet your need. It's just like having different photographers for different types of property.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So we've talked about the winery and really kind of how you incorporate your personal passions and your background and that sort of thing. I'm curious about what kinds of events do you have, if you do, for your clients and your sphere of influence? Tell me about what that looks like.
So I've been blessed. My wife, her family owns a winery. So it's if Joe's ever watching, it's not like I get a good deal. Come on, Joe. So we do have to pay football, but it's all good. So we actually have the most beautiful backdrop in Niagara-on-the-Lake to throw a big client party. And, we try to do one in the winter and one in the summer. And at the summer one, we'll have a food truck. We always try to switch it up. This year, for example, we had a poutine food truck. We had a gelato truck. We had music by Laurel and Holly, which is a great cover band, but they play ukuleles, and it's very Catalina wine mixer-ish. The only thing I know is from Step Brothers, so I don't know if that's how the real party looks or not. But it's very, very similar, where everybody dresses up in their linens. Bring your kids if you like. There's live music and really, really great food and wine. So we do things like that because it's they're large venues that we can invite. You know, some people like to only invite their AAA clients or their A++ clients, whatever you want to call it, where we like to kind of invite everybody we've done business with that year, as well as our A++ clients. We just find it's a way to help build and solidify those relationships. And then in the winter, we were planning, but with all the restrictions going on, we don't know if we're going to go through with it, but a charity hockey game where we are in Niagara. A lot of our clients, a lot of our friends and family play hockey. So what better idea to kind of mix real estate and hockey together and have a really good time for a good cause.
Well, and I have to say, being from Tampa Bay in Florida, we've got a little share of our own hockey greatness going on. So
absolutely.
I can relate there. But it really sounds like you have a really good time and a really authentic business presence by incorporating all of those things from your community and your personal passions.
Absolutely.
What's one piece of advice that you would offer to an agent that's looking to build their business in a more remote, smaller market? Is there a nugget that would share, like something that you would do over again?
Yeah. So I think the number one thing here is so first find your farm, whatever that is. If it's a community, if it's heritage buildings, if it's commercial, if it's single family residential, just find that first. And from there, find a way to relate one of your passions to that farm. That's what I did. Okay. It was a little easier for me, because everybody loves wine and we're in the middle of wine country. So what I did is not only use the wine, because that's almost like a cop-out. I used the wine, used the value of community. And like I said, I hate to use the word attack. I didn't target my own community. I targeted people outside of my community, because every time somebody's thought Niagara and Niagara on the Lake, they're like, oh, Andrew Perry. Now, had I had focused all of my passions in my niche, luxury farms, wine, all into my local advertising and marketing campaigns, I wouldn't have had that much success as I have with targeting outside markets. It's through agent referrals. It's through people who don't necessarily know an agent in the region. As a new person, especially as somebody who grew up 2 hours north from here, it was important to me to have that base of clients before I started really marketing myself actually inside of the community.
Wow. That's a beautiful takeaway. Absolutely beautiful takeaway. So as we wrap up our time together, I want to find out what's next for you. What goals are you looking for? Any bucket list items or anything that you'd like to share about what we can watch for you doing next?
So short term, I am in talks with a couple of different media outlets for our own show. We're going to call it That Fine Life is the hashtag that we use. I don't know what's going to come out of that, but I would absolutely love to bring a reality show as the Canadian version to all, the popular US. Maybe they're just people are more interesting in the States. I don't know. But I think also I want to open more offices. So eventually I would love to have a dozen, 10, 20. And then if we're thinking long-term, I eventually want to get my license to be able to sell in New York, in LA, Italy. And I would like to be that broker that no matter where you go in the upper echelon, multi 10, 20, $200 million properties is that I'm the guy who's going to be able to help facilitate those transactions.
Wow. That's a good one. You got me there for a minute when you said you wanted to get your license to sell in New York, LA, Italy, right? You've got big aspirations there, and I have no doubt that you're going to achieve them. But I love that kind of big thinking, and yeah, that kind of focus on being a connector with resources and relationships around the globe.
Well, so, it's been a part of my life since I was I started promoting clubs and bars in my teens, and everybody in the real estate industry calls Andrew. Who do I use for lead generation? Who do I use for this marketing company? Do you have anybody who does headshots? It's just been my life for as long as I can remember. My dad is the same way. He's known as the pub guy. He's in the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest pub crawl. He wrote books about it, right? So everybody was, Bill, where's the best pub in Dublin, Ireland? Where's the best pub in BC, Canada? And, I just take a lot of pride that people take time out of their day to rely on my advice and, to take that to the larger level and say, hey, where's the best spot in Italy to go find an oceanfront property? Hey, I know somebody, I can help. Hey, I'll go for the trip with you. Maybe we can have some fun, right?
So that's now, what I like that avenue. And I use that when our clients want to buy in Costa Rica. Many yeah, of our listeners know that's one of our favorite things is to go with our clients to on their buying trip. And I certainly agree with you on the Italy, and Lucca is my favorite. It's not, it's not going to be on the ocean, but yeah, there's a thing about Lucca that just grabs my heart. So, well, I can't wait to watch what happens next. I love the idea of the Canadian version of the reality show, and I want you to keep me posted and keep our members posted on where we can watch you next. And I'm so grateful for your sharing of your time with us, and also just want to say kudos for making the time to give those mentoring opportunities and to share your advice with other real estate agents and with the people in your community and your sphere. We're grateful to have you as a member of the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing.
Well, thank you very much. It's helped a lot. I keep my guild right on display here. I added it to all my listing presentations and buyer presentations. It's been really something that set me apart.
Excellent. Well, we couldn't end that on a better note, in my opinion. Yeah. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of A State of Mind, the art of selling luxury real estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at www.luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share it with a friend and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thanks for listening.